You are Locked On Wolverines, your daily podcast on the Michigan Wolverines, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Happy Friday. You know what that means. That means there's a game tomorrow. And who better to break down the Michigan at Nebraska night game than, I can't talk on Fridays or any other day. None other than Mackey Award-winning tight end Jake Butt. Jake, thank you as always for joining us to help break down this game, man.
Yeah, excited to be here, Isaiah. I mean, it's getting to that point in the season where Michigan fans, we talked about it. They're letting the guards down. I know my guard is, I'm really exposed. I'm kind of all in on this team. I'm loving what I'm seeing, but some people are calling this a trap game. I don't think this is a trap game. I think this is just a big game going on the road to Nebraska. I think they have a really solid team. They're going to present some challenges. I think offensively, this is going to be our toughest matchup of the season. So, you know, ultimately, this is going to be another game where we really can take out the measuring stick and see where we're at. So, super excited. Love night game environments. Love road games. And just love what I've seen from this Michigan Wolverine team so far.
And I think that the fact that it is a night game, like if there was any question to the players on the team that this is a big game, I mean, 7:30, they're going to see that crowd. And it's going to be significantly more raucous than what if it would have been a noon kick. I don't know how they would go into this, especially with everything that they've been saying, you know, one game at a time. Flat out have said, we know that if we lose, then the fans are going to be against us. Mike Morris said that a few weeks ago. Mm-hmm. So I don't see in any way, shape or form how they would just kind of go into this thing overconfident. Do you really?
No, I, and again, we go back to, you know, the meeting this week. Aiden Hutchinson calls everybody up. He said, meet me in the locker room in 10 minutes. And the entire team's in the locker room in 10 minutes, locked into Aiden. Like, Aiden, man, where are you going? Because I'm going with you, you know? And I'm sure the conversation had something to do with, like, let's not be complacent. Let's not be satisfied. Let's not pat ourselves on the back. We still, the goal, we're on pace, but we haven't done anything yet. The goal of a Big Ten championship, the goal of getting national respect is still out there, but it is 1 week at a time. No one can let their foot off the gas. And the thing about a night game too, Isaiah, just to transition, is I always love playing in night games. We're in October now. You get that fall, crisp, cool weather. It feels great when you're playing. You take off your helmet. The steam's coming off when you come on the sidelines. It's great playing conditions. And then there's something when the lights turn on, the sun goes down. That's when you really get to see who your dogs are. That's who you really get to see who loves to play football, who's going to go out there and try to crack some skulls and make some plays. Night game environments are always super, super special. And I always got juiced up for those night games. So, you know, this is a big test. And again, I'm looking, the driver's seat is the leadership being shown by our players. I think that's what gives me so much confidence for this team throughout the season. So, you know, big game, big test. Let's go out there and capitalize and continue to build on what we've been doing throughout the season.
I do have to correct one thing. There will be no crisp in the air tomorrow in Lincoln. It's supposed to be 89 degrees
at night at 7:30.
I can't imagine that it will cool like 30 degrees in like, you know, in like an hour's time, but maybe it will. I don't know. I'm not packing pants. Let me put it that way. Okay. Because, you know, I don't want to end up like I don't know if you've watched Friends. You're probably way too young for that, but just like when Ross Geller has his leather pants on, he's sweating in them and he can't get them off because they've stuck to his legs. If I went to wearing pants, that would be me on the sidelines. So I'm wearing shorts and I'm just going to hope for the best.
Okay.
So probably no crisp, but geez, 89 degrees in Lincoln, Nebraska.
We're podcasters. We're not meteorologists. So
exactly
with what we know.
I am an amateur meteor. I can't say it. I'm not going to say it. Anyway, so like you mentioned, the biggest challenge for that in your eyes is this being Michigan's defense's biggest challenge of the season thus far. Tell me a bit about why you think that at this moment.
Yeah, well, you know, it kind of goes back to the Rutgers game. And and you can compare the Rutgers and the Wisconsin game. I felt our defense matches up against a pro-style offense a lot better. But Rutgers was able to kind of gash us with some of these misdirections and read options. Of course, we didn't have Josh Ross. That's a huge, huge staple of our defense. But I went back and I watched the Nebraska-Oklahoma game, and just looking at their offense, they're running jet sweeps and they're running a bunch of counter motions, pre-snap shifts. They're sending guys to either sidelines, and you have to respect that. But then you also have the ability to have a quarterback run. So, and we can talk a lot about Martinez. He's a very good quarterback. Watching him on film, big, strong, fast, accurate, good decision-making. He's on time, making good reads. He's going to be our toughest challenge so far. But offensively, it's going to force us to be really disciplined. So when you have guys going and you're running misdirection, you have a jet sweep going one way, and then you're bringing the running back across the field to the other way. You can't get lazy with your eyes on defense. You can't, you know, have three guys running with the jet sweep and three running with the running back and then a couple running on the quarterback. You have to know pre-snap, hey, the jet sweep, that's my guy, and I'm going to do my job. I'm going to shut that down. Hey, the running back, that's my guy. I'm going to do my job and shut that down. Your front four, they're going to play sound, gap, responsible defense. We're going to honor our gap. And as long as you have 11 guys doing their job, it's almost like when you're playing a triple option. You need to really be disciplined with your assignment, with your eyes, what your role is given the situation and the play. And then ultimately you got to execute. We've been tackling really, really well this season. So I think as long as we're in the right position, we'll be able to make the plays. And again, it's going to be similar to trying to get this offense uncomfortable, get Martinez uncomfortable, get him in third and long situations. And then when we get in our pass rush, you got to be gap responsible. Once again, you can't get greedy and try to, you know, make a play, because he can run and he can really, really run. So you want to try to keep him contained in the pocket and just kind of close that space down, get him uncomfortable. Don't give him a lot of space. So I think that's going to be the tale of this game, is can our defense really make this Nebraska offense uncomfortable?
I think the good news about the containment is I thought we saw a really good job of that last week. All of these shots, I couldn't find a full version of the game to rewatch, so I just saw highlights. But going back through, usually going back through all my pictures is really elucidating, right? Like you can go through it and kind of get an idea. I mean, actually just scrolling through it really fast basically looks like watching TV. But there are so many shots where, whether it was Graham Mercer, Chase Wolfe, where he's running one which way, and you've got one defensive player on one end and Aiden Hutchinson on the other. And that other one always ended up being someone different, like Mazi Smith, David Ojabo, but Aiden Hutchinson on one end and then another defensive guy on the other end, just able to contain. But you got to be able to obviously keep up front as well. Like that's going to be a different scenario, having to account for all 11.
Nebraska's another side note too, is Nebraska's O-line is giving up the most sacks in the Big Ten. So that's a little bit of, you know, that's a little bit of people generating pressure. But I think what really tells the story is Martinez knows he's a playmaker. He knows he can extend plays. So sometimes he's just kind of waiting and hanging a little too long. So can you penalize him for that? Can you take advantage of him just trying to hang on to plays a little bit too long and again, get to him and make some sacks. So, that's what I'm hoping we can do.
And that's also going to be going to make it that much more incumbent on the coverage on the back end.
Yep.
Not give him any options downfield.
Yep.
And the one area in which I am confident is that Mike McDonald is going to have the perfect scheme for this. As a guy who was opposite Lamar Jackson for years.
Good point.
There in Baltimore. So we will see how that goes. Jake, I've got to tell you a little bit about two things that I really like. Two things. Thing number one, you've heard about, and that's Built Bar. Built Bar, for those who do not know, it is a protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. It is absolutely delicious, and it's high protein, low calorie, low carb, all those things that you want. And I am a glutton. When I get one of those in my hands, I get taste a little bit of what it's like. I have to have two at a time, but you know what? It's all right, because I am still lower calorie and higher protein than if I went out and got a Metrics Big 100, which used to be my meal replacement go-to. So many good flavors, peanut butter brownie, cookies and cream, almond coconut. So many Built Bar options available for you. They always have special flavors that are to die for. So take the plunge with me, because I'm not saying necessarily you, Jake, just people everywhere. take the plunge with me. Go to built.com, use a promo code locked15 and get 15% off of your next order. That's built.com, locked15. And this one's going to require just a little bit of reading to make sure I hit all their points. But Jake, let me ask you, what do you think about my shirt? I mean, you can see it right here.
It's vintage. It's pops. It's a great shirt, Isaiah. I like it.
Well, you know where I got it? I got it from Home Field Apparel. This is what they do. They go and they make all of these vintage shirts that are the most comfortable shirts and hoodies that you'll ever own. I have the Slippery Rock hoodie as well as a Michigan hoodie. And seriously, they when it comes wintertime, I had all these things that I used to wear in the winter. I don't wear those anymore. And it was really bad during quarantine because I would be like, which of those two hoodies is the most clean? Because that's the one I'm going to wear. But they're absolutely incredible, these things that that Home Field puts together. So let me make sure that I have all of this right here. And apparently I deleted what I needed to say. So here we go. So here's the thing about Home Field, because it's premium college apparel. They're based out of Indianapolis. They're, like I said, incredibly comfortable, and they are officially licensed. Home Field studies your school history and traditions, and they dig through the archives to create these thoughtful vintage designs. Like, obviously, I'm wearing this Michigan basketball national championship shirt from 1989. I have another, like a maize shirt with the Sailor Wolverine logo on it, which is excellent. They have an awesome Rose Bowl one that I've wanted to get forever. But, you know, with their, even though Home Field has a strong Michigan line with 18 vintage pieces, it's also officially licensed for 100 plus schools, and they add more schools all the time. They're adding USF this week. So you can do that for anyone else in your life who doesn't cheer for Michigan. And I got to tell you, there's a lot of schools out there that I hate, and I see some of their shirts and I'm like, I kind of want to buy that. That's how good Home Field is. So anyway, you can get 15% off of your first purchase from Home Field with the code LOCKEDONWOLVERINES during checkout. Just go to homefieldapparel.com. All right, Jake, I'm not going to lie. It was cool being able to plug two things that I like legitimately, not no offense to some of the other things that we have to read about. There's sometimes where it's like, you know, it's sometimes we have ways to pay the bills that aren't something that I'm wearing every day or eating every day, right? Some things I use a little bit here and there, but like these are two products that I adore, and I was always trying to get Home Field to be a sponsor of the show, and now they finally are.
Nice.
All right, so let's look at the other side of the ball, since we just talked about the Michigan defense versus Adrian Martinez and everyone that they've got going on there. I do want to mention too, though, by the way, before we do, is some of those receivers have got, like, I'd have to look it up again. You see, I had it up and of course I closed it because I'd have no foresight whatsoever at any given moment. But they have a receiver that I believe that has their top receiver is like averaging 21 yards per catch. Yeah. So, like,
I saw that. Can I touch on that?
Yeah, absolutely.
So when you have a lot of these explosive plays happen when your quarterback starts to extend, you know, you'll get explosive plays with rhythm throws inside the pocket. But what happens is your quarterback, you know, the play breaks down, you read one, read two, they're not there. Blake Martinez is going to roll out into the flat either way. So as a defensive back, you have a decision. You see a quarterback running at you and you know he can run. Do you stick on your guy or do you come up and try to make the tackle? And what you see is a lot of times is, or if you're a defensive back, you know, it's 4 or 5 seconds into the play and you kind of just exhale a little bit and relax. Like, I got my guy covered. He's not going to throw the ball. Right as soon as that happens, they're going to dart down the field. They're going to try to, you know, generate something. And that's when these explosive plays happens. I saw just a couple opportunities in the Oklahoma game that really stood out where you have to be really, really disciplined. And you know, I remember playing in Denver when we play some of the dual threat quarterbacks that you'd see, and you're practicing scramble drills, understanding, hey, we have to cover our guy 10, 11 seconds. Like, that's not my job to go get the quarterback. That's the front seven job. That's the QB spy's job. My eyes are on my man. throughout the whole entire play until that whistle blows. Like, I'm going to be stuck on him like glue. So again, having a veteran defensive coordinator that's been around the NFL that, like you said, has schemed against, you know, Lamar Jackson, that's going to help us. I think we'll be prepared for that kind of thing, but that's definitely something to look out for.
Yeah. And again, I'm on high alert, but at the same time, you figure, is Michigan State's defense really better than Michigan's? Is Oklahoma's defense really better than Michigan's? And, you know, Michigan State has had a really bad pass defense. Michigan has a really good one. Oklahoma, I haven't looked up their numbers, but nonetheless, that makes you feel like, obviously, Illinois, but that's week zero.
Right.
You can push that off to the side. It's a completely different, you know, situation now, but I have to believe Michigan's defense is going to be up for the challenge, because it's not like Michigan State was, for instance, had a really stout defense and then played Nebraska and it became something different. No, Michigan State's defense has been incredibly consistent in what it is. So that tells me that it's a good opportunity for Michigan to come away with the win, at least on the defensive side of the ball. I'm more confident, of course, though, going into this game on the offensive side of the ball. Now, Nebraska's got, I think, the 46th ranked defense in the country, so it's no slouch. It's one of the better defenses that Michigan will have faced, kind of right along there with right around where Washington was.
Yeah.
As far as what it's doing from a numerical standpoint and total defense. But I feel really confident just based on the fact that Michigan just played the number three defense in the country, was the number two. Wisconsin's defense has carried it pretty much all along. You can't blame them for what happened against Notre Dame. That was really on the Wisconsin offense with turnovers. They got two pick sixes, you know, that type of thing, which kind of ballooned the score. So with that in mind, am I wrong to feel kind of confident that Michigan's going to just be able to go out there and put up, you know, 38, 42 points?
No, I don't think you're wrong at all. And again, you know, looking back at that Oklahoma game and what do we do well? Who are we? We're a run first team. We're a physical team. Oklahoma was able to really, there was a lot of gash, 6, 7, 10 yard chunk runs in there. And there was a lot of room for even more yards where they're getting 2 or 3 yards. I think our running backs are better than Oklahoma's. And I think our offensive line is better than Oklahoma's. So I think that's going to be a matchup problem for Nebraska. I think their front 6, 7, they were in nickel defense a lot of the time. So their front, their defensive front, the guys that are playing down in the box, they're solid, but I think we're better. I think we're going to be able to generate some movement up front. And as we've seen with these running backs, we just need a little slice. We just need a little room and they're going to hit it full speed ahead. You're not just going to stick an arm out and slow these guys down. Blake Corum, Hassan Haskins, they're going to run through those. They're going to take a 2-3 yard gain, turn it to a 6-7 yard gain. And of course, you're on the road. You're playing a night game. It's going to be a hostile environment. Everyone wants to beat Michigan. We talk it about all season. How do you calm the nerves? How do you quiet the stadium? You sustain drives. You put together a 6-yard run, a 7-yard run, a couple 3-yard runs, a nice pass here and there. It just kind of, as a fan, you can't stay engaged and scream on a 10, 11 play drive. So if you can sustain these drives, it just settles everything down. It settles your team down. It takes the crowd out of it. It gets their offense a little bit lackadaisical, a little lazy, and it keeps them off the field. So I think it's going to be, you know, I want to see a boring game a little bit. I don't want to see a bunch of, you know, I want us to just run the ball and be dominant. And then, of course, when it comes down to it, I want us to be able to, you know, mix in the play action in the pass and some of the jet sweeps too. So, you know, we called Gattis out a little bit in the Nebraska game. We said we wanted to see a little bit more creativity. We saw it last week versus Wisconsin. I want to see a similar game plan to what we saw versus Wisconsin in some of the earlier games this season than what we did against Rutgers.
You know what? And I agree. I want to see a little bit more balance as far as that's concerned. I almost didn't say that because I started to think about, you're mentioning the crowd and taking the crowd out of it. You want to know what place was certainly quieter than the so-called tennis crowd at Michigan Stadium? Camp Randall was, there was no point in which I was, and this is a trend now. I say this on the podcast all the time. Mm-hmm. First, one time it is what it is. Second time, maybe we have something going here. Three times it's a trend. And I talk about that with, like, you know, Michigan's running game. I talk about that with different, you know, avenues of football, the defense, for instance. Right. Third time at Camp Randall, third time not impressed.
Yeah.
So, sorry about it, Camp Randall. You are not as raucous as you think you are, because it was like first down, second down. They got loud sometimes on third down, but you know, at that point, like third and one, they were just going to hand it to Hassan Haskins and it was going to be it's what it was, or they, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Nonetheless, I'm with you. I want to see some balance. I want to see them run the ball effectively. You hope that they can. Certainly, this is going to be the best offensive front that Nebraska has seen. Last time that these two teams went up against each other was the first time that we saw Michigan's offensive line just dominate in like a decade. Like the offensive lines that you played with were good. They were very good. But when that 2018 offensive line, we hadn't seen a domination like that in forever.
Yep. So,
if I know the personnel is certainly going to be a bit different, but it happened before. I'd like to see that happen again. Just they had given up, and I want to see that Michigan offensive line do that to the Nebraska front.
Yeah. Well, that's it. That's important. I mean, you know, I just think about football. I just think about things sometimes, and I look at, you know, how different NFL teams get constructed, and obviously you have a roster. So there's a couple of different trains of thoughts. Are you going to go after the big name skill players, or are you going to try to build from a foundational level of having a strong offensive line, a strong defensive line? From my experience, is the teams that are steadily playoff teams and good every year, and yeah, if you have a top rated offensive line, you're in the mix for the playoffs every single year. It's such a blessing, because as an offensive coordinator, sometimes you don't want to get creative. You just want to get back there and say, we're going to run inside zone. We're going to run power, and we're just going to out physical you. You know, that, like you said, it does just take your will as a defense. If you just don't have an answer, these guys are connecting on their double teams. They're getting to the second level and covering up linebackers. And then when you have talented backs, just having an offensive line makes those creases that much bigger. It gives you that much more room to run. So we're very lucky, man. The offensive line, they're big, they're strong, they're imposing, and they're a gelled unit. I love just watching them come off the sideline. I love just trying to hear them communicate their calls while they're in the middle of the game. They're just playing really good ball. So it just kind of makes everything a little bit easier when you have those big boys up front doing their job.
The last thing before we move on to our predictions, your old coach, Jim Harbaugh, he always would say you have to win two of the three phases of the game to win the game. Michigan just needs to win one of those two, because there's a strong possibility that they will win the third phase of the game that we don't talk enough about, and that's special teams. Because Michigan, one of the best special teams units in the country, rated, I believe, number three in ESPN FPI or SP Plus. I don't remember which one. I think it's SP Plus. Nebraska is one of the worst in the country when it comes to special teams. They can't punt. They are okay at kickoff. They can't cover either. They're bad at that. They can't kick field goals. They can't punt return. They can't kick return.
Yep.
They are bad at all special teams.
Yep.
How much do you feel, especially having seen Michigan special teams, has kind of been a big part in winning some games? It certainly was what helped really solidify that Michigan was going to dominate Wisconsin rather than just, you know, to have the, you know, defense versus offense and back and forth and all of that. It was the special teams who set the tone.
Yeah.
You know, how much do you think that's going to play a big part in this game?
Well, I'm really glad that you touch on that, because it doesn't get talked about enough, but it's a really, really important facet of the game. It can either really hurt you, which I think it's honestly been hurting Nebraska this season, or it can really, really help you. And it's been helping us. You know, I grew up in Columbus. Jim Tressel used to always emphasize having a good punter is a huge, huge weapon, because it flips the field. You know, if you can gain 10, 20 yards in the punt phase of the game or the kickoff return phase of the game, that's either a first down or two that you don't have to gain, or a first down or two that their offense then has to gain. So, you know, this game of football is tough. So the little bit, it may not make a difference that's visibly easy to see, other than, you know, the big plays, the touchdowns, but a first down or two here and there, that's going to add up throughout the game and ultimately lead to putting you in better position. So I know Jay Harbaugh, shout out to Jay Harbaugh, doing a great job with the special teams. He was my tight end coach. He's got the guys flying around, and they're just playing passionate. So The more you can do, the more you can do to just put your, you know, the two big phases, offense and defense, in a better position to win. It's just another way to just take a little bit back and give you a better chance to win.
Yeah, I think that's going to play a big part. So, all right, well, we've only got a few minutes left. So coming up next, we will give our score predictions. But before we do, listen, football is back. It's better than ever. We had a game yesterday, which I didn't watch because I was too busy working and doing late podcasts and eventually watching some random thing on YouTube or something. I don't even remember. But guess what now? All eyes are on football season. And as always, BetOnline is your number one spot for all of the pro and college football action this season. With a new updated site and interface, even more odds, props, and contests, BetOnline continues to be the number one source for everything football. Head to betonline.ag, sign up today, receive your 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Don't forget to use that promo code LOCKEDON to receive your welcome bonus. From football, basketball, boxing, right to your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your favorite sports. BetOnline, where the game starts. All right, Jake, we are getting to it. Game time is a good less than 36 hours away from the time that we are talking at the moment. So it's upon us. I will be in Lincoln in like 10 hours, less than that, I think. No, about 10 hours. But yeah, okay. I don't know why that matters, but I'm telling you, I will be there then. How do you see this game going? What if you were get into your mind's eye, how do you see this game playing out?
I think the big thing is how we come out. It's going to be early game. Can we kind of jump out to a lead? Can we kind of quiet the crowd? Can we kind of force the issue against Nebraska and kind of really put their backs against the wall? I think if we can do that, ultimately, I think we'll glide to a win. But it's going to come down to those initial, that first 7 to 10 minutes in the game. If they're hanging around and they're having fun and they're jumping around making plays, that's, you know, it's a night game environment. They're going to be able to feed off that energy throughout the game. And, you know, they're a good ball team, so you really don't want to mess around with them. But I think if we can come out and just punch them in the face initially and kind of, I'm sure they're thinking, hey, this Michigan team is pretty good. So it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. Again, can we force the issue early on and just kind of impose our will on them and let them know, like, hey, man, you guys aren't in our league. You guys can't play with us. You know it. We know it. Everyone knows it. Everyone in the stadium will know it. And I think it'll ultimately carry throughout the game. That's what I expect to happen. Again, it comes down to the leadership. That's what I expect to happen. I think, you know, guys like Aiden, guys like Cade, Josh Ross, some of our veteran players, they're going to have these guys ready to play, fired up, and go in there and ultimately win.
You know what? I kind of agree in the sense of Michigan has yet to face true adversity. It's faced adversity against Rutgers. I mean, even against Wisconsin, it has yet to face true adversity in the sense that Michigan is yet to trail for a single second. Good through point. Five games.
Yep.
So I'm curious to see, can they continue to start fast? Because I think Michigan was very fortunate last week in the sense that it was the defense, after the offense had to, you know, gave it to Wisconsin for the first time, the defense stood tall, in the first drive, which it hadn't necessarily been doing. We've seen teams on that first drive drive the field, get some points out of it, and then, but Michigan had always scored first, so it didn't really, you know, it was the tit for tat type situation. So I'm curious to see if Michigan's defense can start fast just as much as the offense generally has been. So that said, I think that this is going to be a game of body blows, and I think Nebraska is going to be able to kind of match Michigan for a while, but I think eventually they're going to wear out, and then you're going to see. Like, I feel like halftime is going to feel really uncomfortable. I feel like if you go on some of the Michigan message boards, there's going to be people flipping out. I think that that's probably going to continue into the third quarter. But I think kind of like what you used to see in 2018, the body blows mentality, yeah, might be somewhat close in the second going into the second half, kind of almost even like it was against Wisconsin. But then I think that Michigan pulls away. So I'll give you my score prediction, and then you can give me yours. I've got Michigan winning this one, probably bigger than most people. I'm saying 42-24. What do you think?
You know, I told you, I think it was 35-21 was my prediction. But after going back and watching the film a little bit, I think my line's moved. I think Michigan's going to be able to score a little bit more. You know, you said it. When I predict the close games, usually we win big. So since that's my first prediction, we're going to, for the karma purpose, we'll stick with that. But I think what I would like to see is a 42-17 win Michigan. If we can go out and start early, I think it's going to be a little bit, I think we can open this thing up and really set the tone. 42-17.
Now, 17, that's the number that Oklahoma held Nebraska to. Michigan hasn't given up more than 17 points, which was this last week against Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I think you're probably closer, at least on paper, to where I should be. I guess I'm really respecting the Nebraska offense and saying it's going to get more than that. But anyway. All right, so that's going to do it for us today. There will be a separate, and it's not on Locked On. You're going to want to find it on YouTube. We'll tweet it out. We're going to have the butt dial. So that is going to be happening. So make sure that you find that. We will, like I said, we have that on Twitter so that you can find where we have it posted. So check that out. Anyway, again, for the Mackey Award winning tight end Jake Butt, I am Isaiah Hole. We will talk to you next week, hopefully discussing a still undefeated Michigan team. Peace.